JC Corcoran Podcast.
Dear Santa, this is Lewis Black, and being Jewish, I just would, you know, as long as you're wandering around on Christmas night, why don't you bring us Jews some stuff? Because, you know, Hanukkah basically sucks compared to what you've got going down in your little factory over there, okay? I mean, you're coming up with a ton of toys, and they're electric, and each year they get better and better. And meanwhile, we get the same old crap. Okay? We get like here's a pen and pencil set. Oh, I forgot to take the name of the bank off the bottom of it. Look, a notebook. Oh, here, an eraser. Hanukkah is a back-to-school holiday, Santa. Do something about it, okay? Huh? And if you did something about it, maybe us little Jewish kids would start to believe in your Christ. So thanks for listening, Santa, and do what you can, and have a Merry Christmas.
Santa works all day in his workshop, making a lot of games and toys. Then one day he hops in his sleigh to bring them to the girls and boys. Santa's just as nice as he could be. There's just one f***ing thing that worries me. If it doesn't snow on Christmas, how's Fatty's gonna use that sleigh? In case of rain, would there be a train that'll speed him on his way? If it doesn't snow this Christmas, how's Fatty's get around to us? Say he breaks down on his way to town, would they let him use a bus? I sent him a nice long letter, and I hope it's not in vain. I really would feel much better if the fat fuck flew a plane. Now they say he got a reindeer for the sleigh he's driving here. But how the fuck's he go if it doesn't snow on Christmas this year? Take it, boys. Ah, that's so pretty. Wonderful, oh, f***ing wonderful. I sent them a nice long letter, and I hope it's not in vain. I really would feel much better if the fat fuck flew a plane. Now they say he got a reindeer for the sleigh he's driving here. But how the fuck's he go if it doesn't snow on Christmas this year? All right, I got a treat for you. Listen to these kids. Are they great? Beautiful, beautiful.
In case of rain,
this kid's great or what? Ah, they're wonderful ones. Watch your mouth. Your mothers might be listening now. That's very sweet. Terrific, kids, terrific. You're just great. Everybody come over here. You did a great job, and I got candy for everybody. All right, which one of you little f***ing stole all the f***ing candy canes? Ah, nice, nice kids. Where'd you get them from, a f***ing jail? F***ing reform school brats. Get the f*** out of here, all of you.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, December 14th, 2022, 63 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Well, if it doesn't snow on Christmas, according to Joe Pesci, all hell is going to break loose. But I think we got some good news for those of you who are into the white Christmas thing. Although there are probably just as many people who are against the idea of a white Christmas, those are the people who have to travel. And we've got a little something for everybody. Well, let me just see what Kent is saying here. Hold on.
Sunday. Could see a little light mix. It's a low chance right now. Not overly concerned about this one on Monday, but you notice we get even colder on Tuesday. And after that, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, we could be looking at some accumulations of snow.
They're actually saying it here. How about John Fuller here? Let's try that.
Another day of severe weather threats from Louisiana into Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. For us, it's garden variety precipitation.
All that can do is cause improvements.
Away from the northern
that part of the country
into the mid-Mississippi
Come
River
on, John,
Valley.
Talk to me. Talk to me, Fuller. Let's go.
Sector or mild sector with just little strips of rain, one across Metro St. Louis and another one to our west. So not continuous rain, but little intermittent pockets of rain moving across the
Come
area.
Come on, talk to me about snow, Johnny boy. Come on, we're waiting.
Outdoor Emporium where you can see the outer road is wet.
Although nobody really cares about anything any of the weather guys say outside of Dave Murray. I don't know. Dave's been off TV for like 5 years now, and he's still the most popular weather guy in St. Louis. Sorry, I'm not waiting for him anymore. All right, with regard to White Christmas, here's the thing. You need cold for snow. Now, that's not necessarily the case in the spring, but this time of year, you need that cold, and it is certainly going to fulfill that obligation. It is going to get real cold in St. Louis. Yeah, right about this time next week, things start to really get cold. Could have some single digits overnight lows in the hinterlands. Oh, here we go. We finally got around to it here.
John, I think we'll see a little glimpse of sunshine, especially in the morning. Friday, mostly cloudy. Winter-like 30s for highs over the weekend and cold enough for some snow. We just need the energy to coordinate with the cold air. Highs early next week in the 30s. Nighttime lows in the 20s.
You're going to get everything you need. You're going to get everything you need. The cold weather is going to be in place, and the moisture is coming in. Now, let's just, it's way too early to tell. We're like, what, 12 days out. So you can't get an accurate weather forecast of what's going to happen, where it's going to happen this far out. But I will say this, that there are certain, you know, models and things like that, the things that Dave Murray always tells us to ignore because they're never right. They all, about the only thing they do is maybe indicate trends. They can indicate a trend, and the trend is definitely in the direction of, well, there's one that says between 2 and 6 inches of snow here towards the tail end of next week. Great news if all you have to do is get to Schnucks or Deerberg's or to work and back. Bad news if you're expecting people in from out of town. At this point, all we wanted to say is watch this space. Looks like you're going to get a taste of winter on your television on Saturday night about 7:15. They're expecting the Buffalo Bills game, which, of course, is played outside, to be, in fact, played in the middle of a reasonably significant snowfall. I love watching NFL games in the snow. Boy, is that fun. So we're back to Avatar. I feel so stupid talking about this. We're back to Avatar. This is the movie that I went to the theater a week too early. Boy, there's no way not to look stupid when you're standing there at the movie theater going, no, there's a critic screening tonight. It's called Avatar, you know? And the guy's like, yeah, that's next Monday. Like, all you can really do is just turn your pretty head and walk away. So that was last Monday. And then, of course, day before yesterday, get all the way to the theater. And it's a long drive to this theater I have to go to see these movies that we talk about here on the podcast. Get all the way there, and there's a film projection issue. By the way, I found out that there's two different ways that movies are shown at your local movie theater. One is like, it's a DVD. And the other way is by satellite, which I was blissfully unaware of. I didn't know that they were bringing satellite images in. But anyhow, I don't know if it's the fact that it's the 3D nature of things. Probably is. I heard some rumblings about that on Monday night. But the long and the short of it was they had to send us all home because the goddamn thing wasn't working. So they rescheduled it for last night. And I'm sitting here going, I want to drive all the way over there again. I didn't even like the first Avatar movie. And I really, really dislike the director, James Cameron. He's a dickhead. And, you know, last night, ABC did like a one-hour special on the Avatar movie that's coming out. And I watched it for about 10 minutes. I thought I was going to puke. It was just like, oh, it's amazing. This is amazing what we're doing. We're changing the world and all that. It's a fucking Avatar movie. I'm sorry. I like movies about real people and adults. People continue to argue about the movie Die Hard. Die Hard, whether it's a Christmas movie. I don't know. 77 deaths in the movie. Now you want to look at some of the other Christmas movies that have dirty words. Bad Santa, 255 cursings, most of them about anal sex, by the way. The Ref, 86, Die Hard, 77. 77 deaths and 77 curses. Interesting. And some people say there isn't a God. Trading Places, which has, it's not a Christmas movie again, here we go, 37 swear words. Even Love Actually has 36 swear words. People get hurt this time of year. I don't know what it is. It's just people aren't paying attention, you know, because you got so much going on. You're in a hurry to do everything. People fall off ladders. They tell everybody, make sure somebody's holding the ladder at the bottom. You can have the most expensive ladder in the world with the rubber feet and the whole thing, and it's still better to have somebody down there holding that ladder. And don't climb a ladder in flip-flops. It's not usually an issue this time of year, but even slippers. That's how you hurt yourself. Now, I had sort of an incident like that in Chesterfield. I'm laughing because of the punchline. You're going to think the story is over, and it's not. So I'm doing something with Christmas lights or something like that, and I'm in our flower bed right in front of our giant picture window on a Saturday afternoon. And there is mulch down, okay? And so I'm on the ladder, and I'm not that high up, but it's just high enough that you have to get the big ladder. So I get out there, and I'm doing something. And at that point is when the ladder, you know, usually accidents with ladders, the thing just slips and goes straight out. In this case, the soft nature of the ground that I had the ladder placed on started to give, and the thing just went to one side. And all I could do is just let the ladder fall, and I just sort of braced myself for a fall into the bed of roses. Roses have thorns. Okay, so there's no fucking roses this time of year, but there were lots of thorns. So now I was wedged in between the brick front of the house and all of these thorny bushes, and I couldn't get out. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't get up because I was sort of wedged into a little corner, and if I tried to move to the right, I would have just torn myself up with all of these rose bush thorns. So I'm like, I'm going to need somebody to help me out of here. So I start banging on the window. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I figure she's got to be in there somewhere. And after a couple of minutes of this, sure enough, my wife appears and like, look, like, what the hell happened? And I explained it to her just the way I just explained it to you. And so now she tries to pull me out of here, and she realizes I'm going to need some sort of a thick, long sleeve something or other, because if I reach in here and try to get you out of here, I'm going to get torn up by all these thorns. So she goes and uses a longer jacket and pulls me, and sure enough, we get out. And she grabs the ladder and tries to collapse the ladder, at which point she almost cut the tip of her finger off. Had to go to the emergency room where she was immediately asked what happened. And she said, my husband fell off a ladder. And they're looking at her like, then why is your finger hurt? Why are you the one that's here? Oh, man. It sort of reminds me of that David Letterman story. Jack Hanna was on, you know, the guy from the Columbus Zoo. Jack Hanna was on, and they were doing something, and one of the animals bit him really good. Not Dave, Jack Hanna. And his finger was really bleeding badly. So they said, okay, we're going to get you to the hospital real, real fast. So Jack Hanna is got his, you know, his elbow bent, and he's holding his hand against his chest, thinking that maybe the compression, you know, they always say apply pressure. He's figuring, okay, I'll push my bloody finger here against my chest, and that will, in theory, slow down the bleeding. So they get to the emergency room, and everybody freaks, and they start yelling, gunshot victim, gunshot victim. Who shot you, sir? Because to them, it looked like he had a massive chest wound because there was blood all over the front of his body and all of his clothes were stained. And he's like, no, I wasn't shot. I got bit by an angry ring-tailed lemur or something. But, you know, whenever you start talking about fingers missing, you got to go back to the Paul Cavallini story. Because you know what happened? He's out there playing for the Blues. And in a freak accident, somebody takes a slap shot and it pins his pinky against the inside of his stick and just severs the tip of his finger. Just cuts it right off. They take him to the hospital. A couple of days later, we're on the air and we're just sort of, you know, wishing him the best, but just sort of thinking out loud as we often do. And it's like, you know, there's so many rabid St. Louis Blues fans out there. And I know from being in the hospital and having a lot of friends who work in, you know, hospitals, that they, you know, don't just bandage them up. They take the finger, the part of the finger that's missing, they put it in a jar with formaldehyde or something, and they put it in the lab. So that means that finger still exists. Could you imagine how much you could get for charity if you auctioned off that finger? And again, we're just spitballing. We're just imagining what if. And it was sort of a joke, you know, just sort of talking about the rabid nature of your typical average St. Louis Blues fan. Honey, you're not going to college, but I got me some season tickets at the Blue Line. It might have been Brian McKenna, but the first person I ever heard use the term Bluesers. And I love it. I love it. I love people who are passionate about anything, but we were having some fun with it. And just, again, like I said, just surmising, just spitballing. You know, can you imagine how much you could have gotten for that finger? Well, as is often the case, as is usually the case, the whole thing gets blown out of proportion. People who were not listening to the show that day just heard some version of what happened. And it's like the old game telephone you used to play in like fifth grade. You know, you'd get like 12 kids in a row and you'd say, rubber baby buggy bumpers. And the next kid would say that to the next kid, to the next kid, to the next kid. And then the joke was, at the very end, the 12th kid would say, rub down your baby body. Because after 11 kids transmitted the somewhat complicated phrase, it would get so distorted that that's how the 12th kid heard it. And everybody would laugh. And that's what happened in this case, too. People just start running with the story. This female sports writer for some paper in Minnesota catches wind of this and makes up a story. And I mean, just completely fabricates a story. And it goes out to the national media. It goes out all over the world. One problem, the way she wrote the story is not at all how anything happened. So as you might suspect, we start hearing from people all over the world who want to interview us about this thing. And one of the shows that contacted us was a guy who was sitting on top of the world in Chicago, arguably one of the most famous morning radio hosts in America, Jonathan Brandmeier. And in a rare simulcast, he was interviewing us for his radio station in Chicago, but we were also carrying the contents of that interview live on the air in St. Louis. So both cities were hearing both sides of the conversation. I know that's a little bit complicated, a little bit difficult to get your head around, but just imagine that in Chicago they're hearing this conversation, and in St. Louis, everybody's hearing it too.
Yeah, we are we in St. Louis?
We are.
Hey, JC, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
This is JC Corcoran, ladies and gentlemen, from KSD Radio in St. Louis. JC is the guy we were talking about. You know, I had to know it had something to do with you guys. Anyway, folks, JC is the guy we're talking about. This was in the Tribune yesterday, JC. The Blues, Paul Cavallini, was shocked to hear one of St. Louis's morning radio personalities was planning to auction off the tip of his left index finger for charity. We stopped there yesterday for about 5 minutes. That was good. He lost it to a Doug Wilson slap shot in a game against the Hawks in December, and some hospital clerk was going to give it to you, and the clerk got fired, and Cavallini said, "I was nearly crying when I heard about it, to think they'd use that as humor." Now, we thought it was a gull darn good radio giveaway. Where did it go wrong?
Well, we thought it was a good idea, too. Let me first say that the characterization by the guy who wrote the story is a little bit off. For example, we had Paul. I talked to Paul Cavallini like within seconds of the show ending. This happened about 2 weeks ago, and he's fine. I mean, for these quotes make it sound like he's crushed and all that. I think initially, you got to keep in mind, this happened like 2 days after he had the finger cut off, and he was under some heavy sedation, all right? So he's half asleep. They wake him up in the middle of the morning, say somebody's trying to give away his finger. what kind of condition would you be in?
Yeah, Paul, wake up. I just heard someone giving away your finger.
Exactly.
KSD, they're giving it away right now.
That was the whole idea. Paul Cavallini gives you the finger, literally, and the whole thing kind of went wrong, you know?
We're giving you the bird on KSD.
Moses.
Now, you really paint a funny picture here. So here's this guy, sedated. He's lost a finger. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's not funny that a man has lost his finger. It's funny that
somebody's giving it away.
Yeah.
Well. See, the thing is, the girl who worked at the hospital called us up, and all she says, you know, our producer Libby Cochin is here, and she says, there's a girl on the phone. She works at the hospital where they took Paul Cavallini to. She says she has Paul's finger. So you know, as you know, with a show like this, this is going to go on the air right away. Figure maybe we can raise some money for charity. John, you know that when you do something like this, you got a 50-50 chance of the thing being real funny and the guy saying, great idea, and a 50% chance of the guy saying, you want it that sick, you know, which is what he said. But everything's okay. Everything's okay.
Yeah, but see, where it went wrong probably then is that Paul Cavallini was under sedation and he woke up listening to your show.
Yeah. See, part of the problem is you think in terms of hockey players kind of being indestructible. You know, like some guy skating around, the scoreboard falls on him and they stitch him up and he's back out for the third period. So when the guy had his finger cut off, we figured, big deal. Well, I mean, as it turns out, it was actually a little more serious than that. And what none of the sports reporters bothered to report here was that it was actually still very... The guy can't even skate because they won't let him sweat, because if he sweats, the finger could get infected. He could lose the whole finger. Now, nobody even told us that. If they would have told us, we would have never done it. I promise.
Oh, man, that was one of my favorite things to play back. Oh, my God. Where was that? Oh, we were talking about injuries during the holidays. Toy-related injuries, $150,000. Oh, especially Razor scooters. Kids get the Razor scooters straight outside. They don't know what they're doing. A lot of times they're not wearing a helmet. Bad parenting and kaboom. A lot of fires, trees, candles, and stuff like that. Trees cause 100 major fires in November and December each year. Candles cause 1,000, especially if you've got a cat or dog. Somebody knock over the table or something. Lifting injuries, a lot of packages and things like that. Remember, lift with your legs, not with your back. And also, people get cut, especially opening packages with a scissors or a knife. Always cut away from yourself, but not towards anybody else. And make sure to help kids with packaging that could be tough to open. 75% of households displayed at least one Christmas tree last year. That's 94 million homes. 84% of the trees are artificial, 16% live, and nearly 6.5 million households had both a live and an artificial tree. 75% of households, and you know, basically almost everybody. But you know, there's a war on Christmas. You can't say Merry Christmas anymore, right? According to Fox News. And then there's the plight of Sarah Richards. Sarah Richards, 33 years old, arrested for stealing a guy's $12,000 watch in Vegas on Sunday. She had sort of an elaborate plan. She flirted with a guy at a bar, got invited back to his room. They started making out, and she told him that he should take his watch off because it might cut her. Then she insisted that he keep drinking wine. While all this was going on, Sarah swiped the watch. The guy noticed, followed her out, and alerted security. Police were called. They couldn't find the watch at first. Later, she admitted that the watch was hidden in her hoo-ha. She was arrested and charged with really bad taste. Police later found out that Sarah is from Baltimore and was in town to attend a court hearing related to another similar crime. She was arrested back in Vegas in June for a very similar crime. She wooed a guy, drugged him, and stole a $100,000 wristwatch. It's unclear if that one was also inside her and somewhere Somewhere in all of this is a Timex John Cameron Swayze joke. You'll recall in the commercials, it takes a licking and keeps keeps on ticking. Oh, God. It's Christmas.
Hello. Hello once again. I'm the church lady, and this is Church Chat. Well, you know, the holiday season has arrived, and with it, a little letter from Toledo, Ohio. Let's just read that right now, shall we? Dear church lady, I am shocked at the number of people who bring their children to total strangers in Santa suits and allow them to hold their young ones firmly on their pelvic region, offer them candy and whisper, "Don't be afraid to tell me what you really want." What causes this mass hysteria signed Elaine? Well, Elaine, let's examine the word Santa, shall we? Santa. Let's see, what have we got here? We've got an S, and an A, an N, a T, and another A. Who could be causing all those laps to bounce up and down so furiously? Who would help grown men steal the focus from the baby Jesus on his birthday? Who could it be? I just don't know. Could it be...
There are lots of toy-related injuries, 150,000 of them a year. And I just thought of this right now. Is the David Letterman top 10 bit about that?
Here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, top 10 most dangerous toys. Listen carefully. Here we go. Number 10, the hula noose. Number 9, Professor Sodom's little biological warfare kit. Number 8, light me on fire Elmo. Number 7... shoots ladders and open manhole covers. Number 6, Mattel ass rocket. The problem right there, that ass rocket. Number 5, rabid Snoopy. Number 4, the too big for my windpipe jigsaw puzzle. Number 3, Mr. Potato Head multiple outlet strip. Number 2, Linda Tripp's Let's Tape Daddy portable tape recorder. And the number one most dangerous toy, Easy Bake Open Flame Oven.
Thank you, Dave. Speaking of comedy, Adam Sandler's going to get the 2023 Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. He'll be honored at the Kennedy Center on March 19th. Past recipients, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Jon Stewart, Dave Chappelle, Tina Fey, and Will Ferrell. Dana Carvey and David Spade hosted a two-part tribute special for Chris Farley on their podcast called Fly on the Wall. It came out, it's coming out today. It includes Chris Rock, Mike Myers, and Conan O'Brien. That I will have to listen to. Again, that is the Dana Carvey and David Spade podcast. Late night tonight, Salma Hayek. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Margot Robbie. She is in this movie that's coming out on the 23rd, Babylon. I expect her to get an Oscar nomination. Stephen Colbert's got Harrison Ford, Janelle Monáe on with Seth Meyers. Sam Smith, Cyndi Lauper performed at the White House yesterday to celebrate the president's signing of the Respect for Marriage Act into law. Hard to believe that it's almost 2023 and we're just getting around to saying, you know, all that stuff they pumped into us when we were in grade school about all men being created equal? It took us a while, but better late than never, I guess. Birthdays today, somebody that I consider one of the most beautiful women on the planet. You used to see her on Californication, and now she is on that Halo TV series, Natasha McElhone. Oh, my God, is this woman beautiful. 53. Steve Martin's comedy, The Jerk, was released on this date, 1979. And 14 years ago, in 2008, President W. showed quick reflexes when he dodged a pair of shoes thrown at him by an Iraqi journalist during a news broadcast in Baghdad. U2 played St. Louis on this day back in 2005. Perhaps you were there. There will be a lot of stuff on your television today about Sandy Hook, this being the 10th anniversary. I can't even deal with it. I think that the rest of the world is watching the United States of America. And every 5 or 6 days, we got another mass shooting. And it was only a matter of time before some deranged schlub came along and said, "Oh, no, shopping malls? No. I got to go into an elementary school." And it's 10 years later, and really not a goddamn thing has changed. And on top of it, my business. My business, the business that I've dedicated my entire life to, the broadcast industry. A guy had to be sued into the middle of the next century before they could get him to shut up about these conspiracy theories about Sandy Hook having never happened. You know, a lot of people will put a bumper sticker on their car that says, "My country, right or wrong." No, no. That is a mindless abuse of logic. Your country does something egregiously wrong. You should be pissed off. And finally, it was on this date in 1990 that of all of the food and cash salvation bashes we did, this was clearly the best one ever. And God, we were scared that morning too. We were really scared because 7 inches of snow fell overnight. And now we're out at Chesterfield Mall setting up for the bash and we're thinking, Christ, this is going to kill us. And instead, about 15 hours later, 9, 10 o'clock at night, according to the numbers provided to us by the Chesterfield Police Department, the crowd estimated at roughly 7,000 people in the center court at Chesterfield Mall. And I think that's an accurate number, too, because I was up on the stage, obviously, looking down, and I got a little better perspective on the whole thing. Just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Lieutenant Colonel Dennis Phillips of the Salvation Army, I still tease him to this day about the fact that he was running around like a 10-year-old in a candy store that night because he just couldn't believe what he was seeing. Comedian Rich Hall from Saturday Night Live, the Sniglets guy, was up there, the Flying Barklage Brothers, a 30-hour broadcast that raked in. I don't even remember the final number. It was just an absurd amount of cash and food that went directly into the truck that was outside. And as Colonel Phillips said, you know, the food people are donating going to be on somebody's table tomorrow morning. People were coming in with dollies, bringing in pallets of non-perishable food items. People just forking over money like nobody's business. And, you know, I got goosebumps. I'm just looking down at my arm here. And people say, well, why don't you do that again? Why don't you bring that back? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, not the least of which is money. They gave us a budget of like $20,000. We had 6 people working somewhere between part-time and full-time working on the thing as of July, because it took almost 6 months to put the thing together. And we had, obviously a working budget and all these people working on it. And it was fantastic. But they just don't let you do stuff like that anymore. And back then, in 1990, you didn't have the situation you have now. All the people who are on television and stuff, all the sports guys, the weather guys, they all got side gigs with other radio stations that would not allow these people to appear on our air anymore. So the whole thing has changed. But you know what? It's like we have the memories, if you were there or if you were listening, and especially, my God, if you donated food or donated money to the efforts that we put together. As I've often said, I rarely ask you guys for anything. It is my job to provide something for you. So I don't expect anything back, and I don't ask for much back. But in that particular case, we said, yes, we're asking you to help us. And if you did at some point during the 4 food and cash bashes that we did, in especially this one 22 years ago today, it was one of the great, not broadcast moments of my career, it was just one of the great days of my life. So thank you.
And it's time for a new tote. Hit it. Hour number 18 of the Food and Cash Salvation Bash at Chesterfield Mall. 10,743 pounds of food, $42,494. Thank you very much. And I didn't know he was multi-talented. I thought it was just the accordion, but it's also the trombone, Mr. Bob Richards.
JC, you know, it's a pleasure. This is my 3rd year here, and it's always a pleasure to be here and to see you and to see what you're doing for the Salvation Army. But to come here tonight on a night when the wind chill is about 40 below and to look out upon the masses and see a computerized banner that says Bob Richards Accordion Fan Club, I am truly touched tonight. I'm moved.
You know them as the News Brothers, but only half the team is out here now. Please welcome to the band on tambourine and anything else you can find, Mr. Mike Bush. Thank you.
I didn't say we were any good. I just said we were there and our spirits were in the right place. Oh, my God. And to Kathy Kelly, Judy Martin, Scott Strong, Scott Clifton, Dave Obergainer. And I really hesitate to even do an itemized list like this because, you know, you forget somebody. The late, great Ross Gentile. You have no idea the degree of dedication that these people put into that project. Goosebump City. All right. And finally, a West Virginia woman says she broke four of her teeth off after she bit into a McDonald's quarter pounder that contained a metal washer. Now, she's obviously lying because if she had four teeth to begin with, no way she's from West Virginia. And in McDonald's defense, the metal washer did provide something you don't usually find in a quarter pounder. Flavor. My doctor said I wasn't getting enough metal. And with that, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday. No, it's not. It's Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. I got a cat bothering me here. 63 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're here every... Oh, by the way, we're going to be here through at least the middle of the next week. I haven't decided exactly how far we're going, but we're going to be... What is today? All right, the 14th. We're going to be here at least until the 21st. Ooh, just about the time we might have to open the stroke panic aisle. Wow, think about that for a minute. All right, you think about that. I'll think about tomorrow's podcast. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this mother to death. Have a good one. See you there. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.